Fresh Fish does have a unique smell, but it's not an overpowering smell, and it's not a pungent smell. It's got a smell of the oceans.
I don't think there is a steak that would ever rival its tenderness if you have the right piece and the right cut. Now, let's talk about the best eating fish.
There you go, buddy. Hit now!
This is the Angler News SA Podcast. I'm Vanessa Green.
So hey guys, welcome to this week's Angler News Expert Series. And in this week, we are talking about fish. What are the best eating fish, not just in KZN, but throughout South Africa? And I'm joined by seasoned competitive experts. These guys don't just catch the fish. They also know exactly what the retail market wants, what people that eat fish want, because they own Bartho's Fish Company in Durban North. And I thought, who better to tell us about fish than the guys that are actively involved with what they put out into their fridges? So guys, thank you for joining us. I'm with Brett and Daniel Bartho.
Thanks, Nash. Always good to share sort of our passion and what we're passionate about.
I'm amazed how much you guys actually know about fish, right? We're going to catch a fish and we're going to sell it. But the whole process before you put it onto the ice on your fridge at your shop. So why don't you tell me what you serve out there? And then we're going to talk about the fish that you actually get out there. We're going to get into the best eating fish in SA, right? So tell me what we can expect. What's different?
Yeah, we're two brothers that started fishing at a young age, probably at the age of two. So it's been pretty much a lifelong passion. And I think that's what differentiates us from most people is the passion and the drive to catch the best fish. And then we enjoy eating it. And yeah, obviously that's spilled on to our retail store. We're competitive guys in nature, so also brothers pushing each other. And yeah, that's how we set up our store, through competitive angling. And we're now commercial fishermen, so we actively catch the fish ourselves, care for the fish ourselves, which I think is excellent. We fish throughout Southern Africa, the Cape, the whole eastern seaboard of South Africa, Mozambique. And yeah, so we've tasted a lot of fish.
Well, originally we come from an old sailing background, so yeah, we're both Brett and I were competitive paddlers back in the day, and yeah, couldn't hold down a proper job because you're training three times a day. But so a mate of mine owned a long line fleet and said, listen, can you move some fish out? And it was nice because it's an illegal thoroughfare of moving fish. And also touched on fish that we don't normally catch ourselves, you know. Yeah. So the deep water allergic species like your swordfish, your high grade tuna, say marlin. So there are a couple of fish there that, you know, we would never have had it allowed for, but with that interaction with the guys there, and it's interesting. And then as you pointed out, we managed to win Kinjar to the 1 year and win a boat, the second boat we won, and we sold that and put that money into starting up our business. We just wanted to pretty much get our experience out there in terms of what we would want to buy. And we found there were so few places that you could actually go and buy some fresh fish.
All right. So like, you guys know about fish, right? So you know what to look for if you're going to eat a fish. Now, hypothetically, a guy like me, I catch a fish. And that's what happens to it afterwards is the family's problem.
Yeah.
However, someone walks into a fish shop. What should they look for with regards to a fish looking good? Everyone has those theories. If the eyes are sunken in, it's stale. And you know, if it's smelling weird or whatever, obviously. But a general consumer, what should they look for when they're looking at this fish displayed out of the fridge? Give me some points.
Yeah, so fresh fish, obviously, to the eye, should be vibrant in color. Generally, that's a good way. The eyes are normally a good starting point. If they're sunken in and they're really bloodshot, that's a deep giveaway that the fish has been sitting there for a long time. However, there are times where fishermen use a method of what they call slurrying a fish, which is an ice and salt water mix. That helps to bring the temperature down extremely quickly. It's a good way of getting bigger fish like tuna, for example, and often in Cape Yellowtail or other fish, you put it into a slurry, it brings the temperature down. So that sometimes makes the eyes milky, but not sunken in. There's a difference there. But yeah, the color of the fish, also the feel. If you went to a fish and gave it a firm press with your finger, the flesh shouldn't rebound back into place. It shouldn't stay sunken in. That's a sign that a fish hasn't been iced up correctly. When we fish, we take a lot of crushed ice with us. We layer the fish with ice. When we get off the boat and we take the fish out, that fish is so firm, it almost planks. There's very little sag, even in a big fish of a cooter, king mackerel, or a cape salmon. So, yeah, that's the difference there. And then another distinct giveaway is the odor. Fresh fish does have a unique smell, but it's not an overpowering smell, and it's not a pungent smell. It's got a smell of the ocean. So those are three sort of giveaways. Again, once a fish is filleted, you could look at the bloodline. A nice red bloodline indicates a fresher fish than a older fish where the bloodline has turned brown. Yeah, those are giveaways.
I think having trusting your fishmonger is one of the big things. Stop trusting your butcher. You want to go in there and you want to, I think, always ask the question. Sometimes you might walk in and there'll be some good fish in the back of our store, like in the cold room. So yeah, I think having that relationship and understanding your customer is key.
Absolutely. All right. Now, let's talk about the best eating fish, right? Now, we're going to keep this open where it's not just walking into the fishmonger, but also the guys that are catching fish, because I was surprised. A nice eating fish could never be a shad, which I wouldn't have thought. With all the other fish out in the ocean, a shad is actually a good eating fish. Now, let's talk about, we're getting into spring. A couple species that we should probably target or look out for at the fishmonger.
Yeah, I mean, we're fishing, you know, predominantly more the evenings now, and get your more nocturnal bite, and that's through your cod and your Cape salmon, which are quite abundant this time of year. Both great eating fish, both white and white meat. If looked after correctly, they are brilliant eating. On one of Brett's favorite methods, as he touched on earlier, was brine Cape salmon.
Awesome.
This is where it's key to chat to your fishmonger. They will cut up the fish however the customer would require, but we also have the knowledge on what certain cuts will yield, the flavor as well as texture. I have a bit of Cape salmon just simply fried up. You can remove the bloodline by a simple process of leaving the skin behind. Most of the times, fish, when you cook it with skin on, leaving the bloodline in gives it a more fuller flavor.
Okay.
Whereas if you extract the white meat from those fillets, you're left with a sort of a more neutral tasting fillet. So yeah, those two species are both brilliant eating. The cod, I'd say, keep to the smaller size cod, as we discussed earlier. We just find they got better conditioning, the smaller fish.
So around that, I think what we were chatting about was about that 7 to 10 kilo mark when you're a bit eating fish.
Perfect, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, definitely. Cod bill is, abundant. It's fish quite heavily, but caught around the whole of South Africa. West Coast, East Coast, you're going to find it in both. A lovely eating fish, a juicy, succulent fish, if I could explain it, with quite a mild flavor. Your Cape salmon, a firmer fish, and a lot more meaty and gamey for me, probably on a similar sort of line to the Cape yellowtail, which is also a firm favorite for brine. People really enjoy putting a fresh fillet of Cape yellowtail or Cape salmon on the brine. So two good options to think of. It's going to be brine.
What about a garrick? There's been a fair lot of garrick that's coming out. We get into that spring season. Would a garrick be a fairly decent eating fish?
I think Brett and I are both on the same opinion that any fresh fish is not bad table fare. I tend to prefer to put a garrick back because it releases well. It gives a good fight. They're part of a good migration pattern. If I was down the Transkei and couldn't find myself anything else to eat, I'd only eat it because it is good eating, but I'd only decide to keep one if I couldn't get the other species on offer. So if we, for example, if we caught two or three shad and there's a family of two, you'd think, why would I keep a whole big garrick?
Yeah.
The same thing there. We find mealtimes bring families and friends together. So sure, we love to share our fish. And that's been that case since growing up, as Brett said, from the age of two. Grandfather instilled in us, take what you need. And we never used to freeze fish. We used to eat the grunter, getting onto the recreational species. We're not allowed to target it as a commercial, and you should never see it in a commercial or in a store or any form of resale. But grunters are an amazing eating fish. The yield on it's not great. You probably get about a 40% yield from it. If a fish was 5 kilos, you're probably going to get about a 2 kilo fillet. But you don't mind that if you...
How would you compare that grunter?
Oh, simple. I think those are with most fish. I mean, the flavor and the texture of that fish, it's got beautiful flavor.
Yeah.
And lovely white flaking flesh.
Seasoned and fried in a little bit of butter. And
really? I was thought a grunter is that good.
It's like we said, recreational fish species, your shad, your spotted grunter.
Yeah.
Even a garrick. A mate of mine, I think he shot one garrick, his first garrick, and I was at his house and he cut it into small cubes. He got a bit of fresh rosemary out of his garden and simple olive oil, salt, pepper, and the rosemary in a frying pan, little cubes. And it was unbelievable. And really, I think the key there is, it's a recreational fish. So recreational fishermen, it's in their hands to look after their resource. So it's not like commercial fishermen are catching them to plunder for commercial gain. Daryl said, if you take one fish home for the pot to feed the family, there's absolutely nothing wrong. And eating it fresh is key. A shad definitely kept overnight in the fridge to the next day is never the same.
What about another common recreational species caught off the shoreline, the bronze bream or bream species? Where would you rate that on the list of good eating fish?
Touching on the yield, again, it's not a great yielding fish, but as table fare goes, it's delicious in fish cakes or just simply filleting. It's got quite a big stomach cavity, so you end up with quite an odd shaped fillet, if you could call it. The top fillet is nice and long. A bottom fillet's a little bit smaller because of its huge stomach cavity, but they pretty much like herbivores. They eat a lot of seaweed. And, yeah. I mean, they eat prawns and stuff like that, but yeah, brilliant white, flaky fish. Again, I sometimes put it into a fish cake. Love a nice fresh fish cake. You simply fry it up, let it cool down, break it up, add a little bit of boiled potato, or like a mash, and you bind it together and then put panko crumbs and refry it.
I think also similar to the brunt free would be a lot of your other common offshore species, your slinger, your soldiers, proto breams, blue hottentots, all lovely eating fish. Again, cooked in different ways, whether you do it whole on a bra, cut it into slices for frying.
Yeah.
A lot of our Indian folk in KZN like to get their fish cut into slices where the bone it's all intact and fried with a bit of a masala and whatnot. So those kind of species lend themselves well to that, which it takes a bit of extra time filleting them with the slightly smaller bream species and what have you, but lovely eating, delicate flavor as well, finer flake. Yeah, deep water hake.
You guys were telling me about the hake, yeah.
So, yeah, we fly fresh hake and tinklip from the Cape every week. Again, you don't get it here because it's a cold water species. It only goes so far up as Jeffreys Bay, pretty much, and then obviously all the way down in the Western Cape. But yeah, I'd love me fresh hake on a nice summer day. It's not a very fully protein. It's a light, very mild-flavored fish. Just pan-frying a piece of fresh hake, you cannot go wrong with. The kids absolutely love it. We cut it into smaller little strips and give it a little bit of a crumbing for the kids.
Mm.
And yeah, they literally cannot get enough.
So the hake you're talking about is the same stuff we would get from a restaurant and we order our fish and chip. Is that the same?
I think the key there is that it goes back to the freshness. We spend the extra bit of cash on air freighting the fish up because basically it offloads in Cape Town that morning. We'll have it with us by midday. That means on an early flight. So we're getting it at the same time as the Cape Town market's getting it. So it's hugely fresh. Because of the way they box it, it's never squashed because you can only put a certain amount. There's a threshold that you put in per polystyrene box. So, yeah, getting back to it, I think, there'd be a distinct difference between tasting frozen hake and a piece of fresh hake. Not only from a texture point of view, but a flavor point of view. The hake prices actually got more and more expensive because of the demand for it overseas. So they send a lot of PQ, which is prime quality overseas. That's with its head intact. So there are a lot of terminologies that we use in fishing, like HGNT, which refers to head off, gutted, and trimmed. So that's mainly your species like your swordfish, your tuna, a lot of the marlin and those sort of fish that are exported. That's HGNT. You get GNG, which is gutted and gilled. A lot of our fish on our displays would be gutted and gilled. They'd have their scales still on because that's another protective layer and helps with the longevity of the fish. And then you get just gutted. Our Norwegian salmon that flies in weekly just comes in gutted. Its gills are there. A lot of people use the gills as an indicator of its freshness. But as Brett touched on earlier on, slurries can sometimes wash away a bit of that redness. And with our water, a lot of the ice machines that guys have these days obviously use municipal water, which has got a bit of a chlorine content in it and does bleach to a certain degree some of the gills. So as Brett was saying, the freshness, you've got to trust your fishmonger. If he says this and it starts breaking down, it's a protein, it starts releasing a histamine, and that accumulation of histamine can obviously make you sick. And our histamine tolerances might be slightly different. You might have a slightly stronger stomach than me. I've got a slightly weaker stomach, or my histamine tolerance is weaker. And we have a piece of fish that's been either sitting out that hasn't been cared for properly. So whether it be from the fishmonger or whether it's to a restaurant, keeping that cold chain is imperative, paramount to having a good product. Because while it sits above 40 degrees, it's breaking down. A lot of people ask us, say, can I take this fish whether it be on a Monday, can I keep this in my domestic fridge until Thursday? The question is your fridge cold enough? I'll almost be more inclined in freezing that piece of fish and knowing the integrity is still good. If you've got young kids and they're constantly opening a fridge, your ambient temperature inside your fridge is never going to be below 4 degrees.
But as long as the processes have been... So I just want to jump back to the hake bit. Going to a supermarket and buying my box of hake would taste different from if I had to go to a fishmonger and buy my hake.
As long as the fishmonger's got fresh hake and it's be looked after, it doesn't have to be air freighted. We just do the air freight because it gives us a jump on what we get the same day that it left the vessel. But yeah, there's a product for every pocket.
That's what was my word of advice to customers is fresh piece of fish, you can see the integrity of it. It's not frozen. When something's frozen, it's really hard to know the integrity of it. You don't get the full odor of it. You can't see the firmness of it. So yeah, that's why I always say we would rather buy in fresh hake, portion ourselves. We know the integrity and then vacuum pack and freeze at least. That way we're eliminating a lot of the risk where a frozen piece of fish, you don't know when it was frozen, perhaps, if the packaging has been damaged or it's been broken down from bulk into smaller packaging. So yeah, certain products like that, you've got to be aware of.
I think the other thing I'm touching on is fresh hake is a lot more delicate. We said that word a couple of times now, but when I say delicate, so frozen hake, it holds up better. When you've got guys that are going to batter it and whatnot and serve it as a whole, it lends itself to a better takeaway product that you could call it because it's in one piece. One of the challenges with fresh hake is it because it's so delicate, it can fall apart. As Rich also touched on, we cut it into smaller pieces, more handleable pieces, so that when you're frying it, you're not putting one whole sort of big fillet there. Because to turn that whole fillet, because it's so delicate, it is going to fall apart. And some people mistake that for it not being fresh, but it's because that flesh is so delicate. And a nice thin skin, it's got a very neutral tasting skin, but there's a distinct taste difference. So that is a big thing. So it's amazing. You take other species and maybe just from a texture, not from a flavor perspective, but a texture, you'll be able to tell whether one's been frozen or not. So I think that's the thing. But a hake has definitely got a different taste.
One fish as well that definitely you don't want to eat frozen is tuna. So tuna in recent times has become extremely popular, especially amongst the younger generations. And I, for one, am a sucker for a nice, rare piece of sear tuna. You can't beat it. A lovely mash, whether it be with a bit of wasabi mixed in with that, some fresh veg, and a nice big rare piece of tuna just seared lightly, probably 30 to 40 seconds each side, seasoned with just coarse salt, pepper, sesame seeds, and nice and pink in the middle. It actually probably melts in your mouth like a tender steak would.
Really? Okay. I think but then once it's frozen, it doesn't have that same...
No, texture and everything breaks down, and you definitely don't get that same fresh flavor as what you would on the fresh tuna,
Okay, and as we were chatting about earlier, I think we spoke about the cob. When cobs start getting out of sort of 20, 30 kilos, that is a bit of condition. Not that tuna don't lose condition, but the tuna that we seek out are the bigger, fatter tuna. So that's what that export market is driven by. It's the clarity of its meat, the color of the meat. Obviously, it's going to be vibrant. It's going to be that nice red color. And one of the most important factors is the fat content. So fish like your tuna, some of your swordfish, even our king mackerel that we catch, and queen mackerel for that matter, because they're eating anchovies or sprats, they're high in fat. So that relates to their flesh. So when they eating abundant sprats or whatever the bait fish might be, they end up with a beautiful, full-bodied, when your knife cuts through that fish, it leaves that sort of buttery fat on the blade. And that's when you know you're going to have a beautiful eating fish.
And see it in the meat, in the fillet of whether it be king mackerel, tuna, swordfish, marbly. And it's fantastic.
That's a way to get that wagyu kind of to it. And you just know. And those sort of fish eaten raw are phenomenal. So I often say to customers, like, have you ever tried a piece of king mackerel? Some people call it barracuda, along our coast, I'm a cuda, but that eaten with just a little touch of soy sauce is unbelievable.
Just roll like that. Some sushi, my grandfather used to, the first cuda we always catch, my job was to, hey, go fillet that fish, or Brett and I had to fillet it, quickly go put it and slice it very finely, arrange it around the plate, drizzle with lemon, bit of pepper, bit of salt, and then a bit of cling wrap, and pop it in the freezer. We don't freeze the fish, but just got it really down
Now that's the down to temperature. But you can do that with swordfish, you can do it with tuna.
Yeah.
As Brett mentioned, tuna has become hugely popular, not only in sushi, but also in fine dining. And it's just so simple to do. I don't think there is a steak that will ever rival its tenderness if you have the right piece and the right cut.
Wow.
And not only that, it's also healthy for you. And you know, getting onto that, a lot of people ask us, the heavy metals, are fish susceptible to these heavy metals that they'll, the mercury content?
Mm.
Obviously, it is a worry out there, a concern for people. The bigger the fish is, the more sort of exposure it's had to heavy metals. A lot of the guys will say rather constrained on eating the smaller fish, but it's a bit of a crossover there because as your fish get older, they generally get better conditioning and hold a better fat content. The EU, their sort of threshold for importing tuna is around about 55 kilos on an HG&T carcass.
Mm.
So they've, their sort of medical fraternity has figured out that 55 kilos and below on its HG&T. So that probably equates to about a 65 kilo whole fish and its whole weight. So they've looked at that and they've capped that at that. And it's quite interesting that they do that. But
yeah,
one of the things that a lot of the medical guys will tell you that eating fish far outweigh the negative effects of your eating lentils. Yeah.
I think key is just preserving the stock so that future generations can enjoy it. Like I said, we grew up from a young age eating fish or catching fish and then eating fish with the family. I've got two sons and I'd like to see them doing the same with their children one day. And yeah, hopefully I'll be a grandfather enjoying that.
I think a lot of us, it's not only the catching of the fish, it's the preparation. It's the places it takes us. It's the mates and contacts we meet along the way. It's a whole big process. And it's for us, it's really satisfying when you can go and target something, but then the benefits of, you know, sitting down and sharing it with the family.
Absolutely.
A lot of people, I mean, you still think we go on holiday with people and they're like, you know, we jump in the water and go for a spearfish or we cast a line and we catch a fish that, and they're always blown away. Oh, this is so amazing. And you're like, we take it for granted.
Yeah.
We're trying not to take it for granted, but you just look at it and you go like, that fresh fish, it's part of our heritage. We've got a beautiful coastline. And I think it's another reason why I think it is a responsibility on each and every one of us to try look after that resource and make sure if you see someone doing something that they shouldn't be doing, tell them, hey, listen, I don't think it's fair what you're doing.
Absolutely. Exactly what you said. You just touch on it. You go out in the water, you catch a fish, or your friends or your family's around you. It's this beautiful moment of catching the fish.
Yeah.
And then 2-3 hours later, you serve it. And you're all sitting around. And oh, that's a priceless memory.
Exactly.
We obviously got a lot more to talk on. And we'll get into this in later shows, right? But now that we're getting into spring, what would be some of the species that would be the best eating fish that I could look for anywhere around South Africa? And then obviously, we'll get together later on and we'll talk about some of the species because that's a whole other ballgame as well. But as we get into spring, whether I'm targeting it as an angler or whether I'm walking into a fish mart.
Spring deep sea anglers at KZN coast, if we Cape Salmon and cod, those are probably the two more common fish species being.
I'm happy to tell we August is historically one of our better, but that goes up to sort of November. Yes. Yellowtail, and we get big yellowtail. Yeah, so the fattier fish. Cape Town gets a lot of the smaller yellowtail.
Ooh.
But we somehow get the big brutes, always testing to and fun to target.
All right,
but.
Yeah, good eating. Again, also the yellowtail, if you look after it correctly and put it into ice and whatnot, nothing wrong with eating it plain raw, either as sashimi or as ceviche, where you'd cut it nice and fine and put a bit of lemon juice on it or lime juice.
Yeah.
There are different variations. You can finely chop chili, put a bit of chili with it, a spring onion. Yeah, there's lots of variations on a ceviche. Otherwise, nice thicker pieces, brown over in some medium to hot coals. I like doing over medium to hot coals, getting a nice grilled texture.
Ooh.
A lot of people always talk about putting fish into foil on a bra. I think it's sinister. So obviously, doing it in foil is a foolproof way of cooking.
Okay.
You're basically creating a parcel where you're going to be steaming the fish. So it's going to be cooking in its own juices. It shouldn't dry out because of that.
Yeah.
So that's why I'd say it's a foolproof way, but you're not getting that grilled texture and the flavor of the, if you're cooking with wood, for example, that smokiness.
Yes.
Which I enjoy doing. So I generally, if I'm brining fish, get a nice fillet of it, season it, give it a little bit of a rub with a oil so that the skin also doesn't stick to the grit. And the skin side down and just baste it with a nice lemon garlic butter.
But you're not turning it over.
Cooking a, I would probably cook a three. I like to, if I'm doing Cape salmon or a square tail cob on the braai, put skin side down, let it cook three quarters of the way on the skin side, and then get a nice big fish spatula underneath there. Carefully roll it over onto the flesh side.
Okay.
And finish it off like that.
Daryl, one of the tricks I also find is that you can either rub an onion on your grid quickly, just so you know, you want to seal that protein, that fish.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you, as Brett mentioned, if you don't put that olive oil and you put it skin side down on a hot fire, the skin is actually going to stick to that grid.
Yeah.
So then when you come to turn it, sometimes it falls apart. And, you know, so that's one of the things I've learned. And what I'd like to do is quickly turn it before it gets that sticky stage where the skin, or not only the skin, but the meat can also stick to the braai. But as Brett said, if you've got a spatula, you can quickly turn it. The other option is to use one of those clamp grids that the guys use, chops or bratwurst.
Yeah.
Also makes it quite nice and easy, because then you can flip it quite easily.
Yeah.
You still, if you don't put a bit of onion, or it does tend to stick to that. But if you keep it nicely basted with a bit of butter, that's my thing, is you want to taste that fish. So overpowering it with the garlic and all that, it's not huge on my sort of way of cooking, but there's so many different methods out there. But we're also now coming into when the current sort of slacks off a bit and we get into the deep water, we catch lovely big trawl soldiers. So it's a lovely big redfish, white meat, quite a thick-based fish, but also delicious, I mean, like it. And then you can curry that fish, you can fry it, you can batch it. Leaving the winter months, you also start getting your catfish rock cod. We start getting a lot more bait arriving, and with that, you get some odd game fish with it. Queen mackerel, I see quite a lot of queen mackerel getting caught up at St. Lucia, so it's a brilliant eating fish. A lot of people get that confused with the Cape snook, because our queen mackerel is actually we call it a snook, and the guys in Cape Town, they've got the Cape snook, which is quite different. It's quite bony. Queen mackerel can be full of flavor, brilliant on the braai, brilliantly fried up sashimi. It's like that. It's a sister fish to the king mackerel or alcuta.
Yes.
Good sport catching it. If I'm in casting little spoons, little halco twisties.
Exactly.
Any other spoon, you watch that fish come through and then commit right the air. No, we have huge fun catching those fish.
Mm.
And on the bonus side, they also taste good. There's so many different ways. We, as I said, we've just touched on a couple of ways on how we cook fish, but I've got quite a boring palate. I love a bit of fresh veg and a piece of fish. I could never get sick of eating apps. We add for three meals a week of fish. What variety it is. I think a lot of people ask us, what is the mostly sold fish in your shop? I think it also depends. We touched on keeping to our guide on it. We always see very strict about what we catch and to what we target and what we allow to bring back to the store. Of late, we've been catching a lot of 74. It's been banned for many, many years now. So we'll never be able to take one. Brandy, that tastes really good. But you've got to look at it. There's so many alternative species. You can't tell me that fish is there.
Exactly.
So, but what's positive is we're catching a lot of them. We're also
sure that they're coming back because of the laws in place. So,
So let's hope that, fingers crossed, maybe like the copper steam brass, and maybe sometime, in our lifetime, they make it a recreational caught fish again. And then we will be able to swabble it and taste what a 74 tastes like. I think it's a responsibility of everyone to try. We'll try and let those processes take their places and let the scientists do their studying. And absolutely get all that back on the table.
Oh, guys, it's been absolutely amazing. I can't wait to hear what are the good summer species to eat. Now I'm going to cook them. And I think you converted me to start eating more fish. Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. You guys really opened my mind. I think you opened a lot of minds to everyone listening to this podcast as well. At least we know what to look out for. And I think the moral of it all is, eat a fresh fish. Don't freeze it. All right, guys, until the next one.
This is the Angler News SA podcast. I'm Vanessa Green. Find more episodes at ecr.co.za under podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Let's fish for the future.